Hello, my name is Sarah Pitsinidzi, and the reason for this podcast is to provide information about childhood schizophrenia. This podcast will talk about the diagnosis, symptoms, causes, and treatment of schizophrenia. Although schizophrenia is more often seen in adulthood, and the beginning of schizophrenia usually occurs between the late teens to mid-30s, there are many cases of childhood schizophrenia. Unfortunately, reliability of diagnosis continues to be an issue of concern. Many of the common symptoms of schizophrenia, such as hallucinations, may often be confused with typical childhood fantasies. Another problem with reliability is that many symptoms of schizophrenia may be confused with other disorders, such as disorders that fall on the autism spectrum. Due to the sensitive nature of diagnosing children with childhood onset schizophrenia, careful consideration must take place to make sure that the child or adult is not misdiagnosed. To help guarantee the right diagnosis is made, medical history, family background, and several observations of the child must be made. When childhood onset schizophrenia first became acknowledged, doctors attempted to have different diagnosis criteria for children than adults. However, it has been found that the criteria used to diagnose adults with schizophrenia also works for diagnosing children. According to mental health experts, diagnosing schizophrenia involves three criteria. The first requires that at least two of the symptoms must be present at the same time for at least 1 month. The second requires that one or more major areas of functioning be affected. The major areas of functioning are relations with others, work or education, and ability to take care of oneself. The third criteria requires that some signs continue for at least 6 months. The symptoms of schizophrenia are divided into a positive, negative, and cognitive symptoms. Positive symptoms of schizophrenia are additions to a person's behavior or personality. These symptoms include hallucinations, delusions, disorganized thinking, and grossly disorganized behavior or catatonic behavior. Hallucinations can affect any of a person's five senses, such as seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, and smelling things that are not there. However, the most common type of hallucination in both adults and children is auditory, in other words, hearing things that are not there. Auditory hallucinations also come in different forms. Forms of auditory hallucinations include commands, which is being told to perform an action, conversing, which is hearing a conversation between two beings, religious, as in hearing religious beings, persecutory, or hearing accusations and or threats, commenting, which is a person's hears a remark about oneself, and unrelated to affective state, which is hearing environmental stimuli. Like hallucinations, delusions come in different forms as well. Delusions can be persecutory, as in someone feeling tormented, followed, or ridiculed, referential, in which sources or media are sending messages to the person, religious, in which religious beings are sending messages, bizarre, which is someone having far-fetched beliefs, or grandiose, meaning a person has super abilities. However, the most common type of delusions is persecutory. Disorganized thinking is defined as a difficulty organizing thoughts. The most common example of disorganized thinking is disorganized speech. Disorganized speech is defined as jumping from one topic to another. Another form of disorganized speech is known as word salad, which is confusing speech made of both real and imaginary words. An example of disorganized speech is as follows. When I went to the park, I, put lemon on my head and the Grendooks took me there. Isn't cabbage brave? I like drawer, but they get angry and I put my bed in the box and there were bugs everywhere. Another positive symptom of schizophrenia is grossly disorganized behavior. Grossly disorganized behavior is defined as childlike behavior, such as silliness. Grossly disorganized behavior is most noticeable through a person's appearance. A person may appear messy, unclean, and strangely dressed. Inappropriate sexual behavior and inappropriate yelling and swearing also qualify under grossly disorganized behavior. Catatonic behavior is defined as a noticeable loss in reaction. Catatonic behavior includes a lack of awareness to what is going on around them, staying in a strict position with refusal of movement, resistance to instructions and attempts to be moved, being in an inappropriate or bizarre posture, and meaningless or extreme motor activity. Now that we have discussed the positive symptoms of schizophrenia, we will discuss the negative symptoms. Negative symptoms of schizophrenia are identified as a loss to a person's behavior or personality. These symptoms include affective flattening, alagia, and avolition. Affective flattening is defined by a fairly emotionless and unresponsive expression and is the most common of the negative symptoms. Although you may see some expression, generally a person with schizophrenia rarely shows emotion. Alagia is defined by a poor quality of speech. Although a person may give responses, they are usually short and don't give much information, making it extremely difficult to engage in conversation. An example of alagia is given as follows. The female voice is asking the questions to a male with alagia. Where did you go today?
Park.
What did you do at the park?
Played.
What did you play on in the park?
Slide.
Did you play on anything else?
No.
The last of the negative symptoms of schizophrenia is avolition. Avolition is defined as a lack of motivation, desire, or drive in activities or personal goals. The final category of symptoms of schizophrenia is cognitive symptoms. Cognitive symptoms are identified as how a person processes information. These symptoms include poor decision making, inability to keep attention, and problems with working memory. The cause of schizophrenia is still under debate. Many believe that the disorder may be genetic. Schizophrenia has been found to be more common in those with close relatives with the disorder. However, many medical experts believe that schizophrenia is caused by a combination of a person's environment, genetics, brain function, and personal history. Unfortunately, there is no cure for schizophrenia. However, medication is the most common treatment used to help manage the symptoms of schizophrenia. Medications used are typically conventional antipsychotics and atypical antipsychotics, which is simply the newer medications which are made with different ingredients. Another form of treatment that may help is therapy. Multiple therapies are available for not only a person with schizophrenia, but also for friends and family of those with schizophrenia. One common treatment that is usually used when medication is successfully being taken is psychosocial treatment. Psychosocial treatment is a form of coping mechanism that helps those with schizophrenia build the common skills affected by schizophrenia, including communication, organization, motivation, and self-care. Included under psychosocial treatment is illness management skills, integrated treatment for co-occurring substance abuse, rehabilitation, family education, cognitive behavioral therapy, and self-help groups. Years ago, schizophrenia was seen as a scary and hopeless disorder. Now, with support from professionals, family, and friends, a person with schizophrenia can live a healthy and happy life. The material included in this podcast came from several sources, including the American Psychiatric Association, 2000, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, Ken Duckworth, 2007, the National Alliance of Mental Illness website, Mash and Wolf, 2002, Abnormal Child Psychology, Lewis, 2002, Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, and the National Institute of Mental Health, 2008, Schizophrenia.